Without any further ado, I would like to introduce Colin Barron, who is here all the way from New Zealand just to talk to you guys.
Yeah, ma'am. Hey, Dave, hang on a sec. Oh. We can get it done. We'll ship that code today. 30 minutes? Okay, I think we can do it. Dave, I've got to ship a production thing.
Well,
I got 30 minutes.
We're in the middle. Well, you know what? We got a room full of really smart people. Maybe they can help.
That's a great idea. Hey,
can you guys help Colin out a little bit here?
We'll get it done. This is the world's largest pair programming session. Let's kick it off.
Fabulous.
Awesome.
Go get them.
All right, guys. I've only got my Surface Pro here, though, so we'll have to figure this out. I left my actual machine in New Zealand. I just flew in last weekend. So hopefully we can actually make this work. So just taking a look here, I've got Visual Studio on here, but I haven't really done any dev work on a Surface. I mean, who codes on a Surface? Hang on. Okay, we got the sign-in that we got to deal with here. Let's go ahead and see what that does for me. You know, I've got all my settings back in New Zealand. That's going to be a problem because, you know, I've got my things set the way I like it. So let's see what we can get here. So I'm just going to sign in, do the old password thing with the world's most complex password. And, we got this authenticator thing as well. Just a quick shout out, if you don't have two-factor auth on your primary accounts, very, very good idea to do it. Just don't record my code here. That includes you, Jonathan, from Microsoft. All right, so Visual Studio is getting me loaded. It's going to hopefully get me all set up here and ready to go, because we got some code, we got to ship it, we got some bugs to fix. Dun, 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 dun. Oh, that's all right. We'll fix that one a little bit later. I know where that's coming from. I just reset Visual Studio here so I could show you the sign-in experience. And it's apparently preparing for first use. So one of the great new things in VS 2013 is I can work anywhere on any device as long as on any Intel device as long as Visual Studio is installed. And the setting sync is a big new add that helps me get my work done and not have to worry about reconfiguring my font sizes and various other basic settings. You know, this is one of those net new features because we've been asking about it for a while. Every time I get a new machine, I've got to set everything up all over again. And so the Visual Studio team is leveraging the power of the cloud to make this all happen. And so this is one of those features that they've shipped as part of 2013 that makes it a little nice. So we'll just ignore that because that's just a missing extension from my reset, and we'll reinstall that sucker in a second here. All right, groovy. So I got my Visual Studio up and running. I've got my settings, my environment the way I want it. And so let's go ahead and take a look around and kind of see what we've got here. So I'm going to need to go plug into the cloud because that's really where all my settings are. So let's go and connect to Team Foundation Service. So I'm going to go ahead and connect and select the team project. And so let's go to colinbowern.visualstudio.com. Bang, I'm in. And again, that Microsoft account integration makes it easy just to plug into the cloud. I can pull up my my projects. All right, there we go. I think somebody's still downloading torrents here on my internet connection here, or watching Netflix, so we'll bear with us here. We only have to do a checkout, and we should be off and running. So at this point now, we're just kind of getting everything loaded up. But while that's getting loaded up, what I want to do is I want to kind of get my VS environment fully customized. And now something that settings doesn't come across with is all my extensions and add-ins. So how many people use Visual Studio and go explore the extension space and install some neat new toys? Awesome. Good to see. There's a good chunk of hands out there. So I'm going to show you a couple of my favorites. I'm a web guy. So I've got a couple of ones that I love, and so just to save that internet connection that's brutal, I'll go ahead and install them from here. So first and foremost, you got Web Essentials. This is Mads Christensen from the ASP.NET team driving this. This is basically the playground for any new web functionality. Before it ships in VS, it ships in Web Essentials and then gets promoted up to the product. And the ASP.NET team's been really, you know, and I'm a web guy, so I'm going to say this, they've been leading the way when it comes to showing how to ship at a very fast cadence in Visual Studio. So we always look to what they're doing, and then a lot of the other product groups tend to model some of the behavior, and it's great because we're seeing things like open source contributions from Entity Framework, where they've open sourced good big chunks of the framework as part of it, Roslyn and a few others. That's because ASP.NET broke the ground. And so the other one that's really quite nice is file nesting. So if you've ever dealt in a web project where you got a JavaScript file and then a JavaScript minimized file, you can kind of nest it in the tree so it looks a little nicer. That's another neat little one. VS commands, I'll show you, that's just a whole slew of productivity add-ins. Again, nice little free add-in that rounds out some missing functionality. And of course, you can't live in any environment without Farticus, which will fart when you break the build. And just to show you, kind of something that first actually started, we had that mention of Python in the scripts. Visual Studio just isn't a Microsoft language thing. This isn't just C#. We're reaching out and exploring new things. We got functional languages like F# and Microsoft enhancements or kind of supersets of JavaScript called TypeScript. But we're also starting to see things like Node and Python end up in the IDE. And what's really great about that is that we're now getting, I'll install this later given that we're waiting on the cloud. What's really great about that is that we're actually seeing some really interesting things happen in the environment, because this is no longer just a Microsoft IDE. I'm able to do things like, develop for my Android phone using Xamarin. I can go ahead and develop Express-based Node.js apps in Visual Studio alongside, let's say, my web API service or my MVC front end. So these are really interesting kind of developments in the Visual Studio world. It's trying to be more than just your Microsoft IDE. It's trying to be the greatest integrated development environment in the whole entire world. So with those extensions installed, we're going to just need to do a quick restart here. I'll wait for my repository to come down. So I'm just doing a checkout with Git. And again, that's one of those new things. Now, depending on where you fall on this, you may think, oh my God, I got to move to Git. That's kind of strange and new, and we've kind of got a way of working, and that kind of works for us. Well, no worries. In the TFS world, and Dave's going to tell you a little more about this, it's not an either or. You can choose one or the other, but you're not forced to go down the Git route. This is really about recognizing broad community trends and offering options, much like web forms versus MVC. But for all you web folks, MVC is the right way, right? Just checking. All right, we got our repository down. Let's reload so we can get those extensions fired up, and we'll get working on some of these bugs. We'll check out our work items in the cloud, and then we'll get working here. So Visual Studio will ramp up, and my network connection should be a little nicer to me, hopefully a little now. And let's get rolling. All right, this was faster in trials. And I did disable my Netflix client, so. All right, let's dig into my work items here, and we'll just go ahead and hit up the team queries and see what's on the backlog, what the boss there added, and make sure that we can get everything solved in the nick of time. While we're pulling up those work items, we'll go ahead and open up the solution that we pulled down here. Let's pull up the work items, and we'll go back home, and we'll see, it's picked up superawesomefun.solution. That's our super awesome fun project. We'll get that sucker loaded up and get off and running. So the usual challenge with every environment is, you always want to optimize that checkout, build, and run experience so that when you're digging into a project for the first time, that you don't have to do a whole lot of setup. And I don't know if you've worked with it, but there's really great enhancements around things like relational database projects that have been coming out of band with Visual Studio 2012 and have now been rolled into the 2013 and starting to follow the update cadence of 2013. And that's one of those ones is the database project where you just simply source control your schema and then go ahead and deploy it using things like the DAC pack, the DAC framework, which was originally built as something for the cloud but then brought on premise for the enterprise. So let's create our super awesome fun database. Let's go ahead and publish that out. And it's going to go ahead here and generate our preview, do any diffs on the schema. In this case, it's an empty database, so it shouldn't be all that exciting. But more importantly, do things like roll out seed data. How useful is that when you file new a project and you've got a little bit of sample data in your tables that allow you to kind of get up and running? So we're leveraging the script execution capabilities of the database project along with the merge statement, which I think was SQL 2008 that shipped. But again, it's one of those kind of hidden secrets of the database world. So now that we got our database deployed, it's time to F5 our app and let's see what's going on here. And you'll notice here, Visual Studio is smart enough to recognize my default in my system. I'm a Firefox guy. And it picked up automatically that I should launch on Firefox. So they're trying to be more aware and be more seamless to how you work by picking up on things around the system. So I got my super awesome fun website here, and we're up and running. That's awesome. All right, so you know, what's happening here is actually quite interesting. So I've got SQL Server LocalDB launching when my app needs it and running the database. And I've got IIS Express running. And IIS Express has actually evolved as well quite a bit from the good old ASP.NET Cassini server. In fact, it's full-on IIS, just running in user mode. There's no more installing and having to launch VS as admin just to do some web work locally. You get full IIS in the user process. And not only that, they've cracked things like how to do SSL. Now, it's a self-signed certificate, so you're going to have to do crazy things to your browser to say, hey, hang on, I trust this certificate. But I'm doing SSL in the user mode with something that basically gives me all the capability of IIS in here. And that's a big thing if you're doing apps today, especially on the web, where security is becoming more and more of a thing. You don't want to dev in HTTP and then find out, oh, everything just broke under SSL. So let's go back and look at those work items. Let's see where our bugs are at, because we're burning down the clock here, and we got to ship this project in time here. So let's go ahead and we'll stop debugging. We'll pull up our queries, pull up our unfinished work, and we'll see what we got here in terms of work here. We'll hide that guy. All right, so users are reporting mixed content warnings. I'm sure we've all seen this on Internet Explorer. You hit a website and this dialog pops up and says, hang on, there might be secure content, insecure content. And that's an IE thing, that's kind of annoying, but it's actually a good security thing because it's telling us that you may be injecting stuff that's not trusted on the page. And a lot of the other browsers actually don't do that. So we gotta test that. So let's actually go ahead and launch an Internet Explorer here. So I'll just drop down my start menu, toggle over to IE, and kick that sucker off, and now we're in IE, and we can actually validate this. But we'll have to jump into the SSL side of things, obviously, to test the mixed content warning. And so let's go ahead and refresh our page. Okay, nothing's happening. So let's make sure that our behavior here is working as expected. And this is actually a change that looks like it is. Oh, did I fix the code already? Dun, dun, dun. Oh. So actually, hang on, sorry, I noticed I pulled down the wrong branch. So the bug's not working here. So because I'm a Git guy, I apologize, my panic of connectivity there caused me to do some silly things. I didn't notice the fact that I pulled down the wrong branch, but let me show you that. For all you Git folks out there, I just want to show you that we've got full-on connectivity out there, and we can pull down branches, and you can operate in a Git flow workflow, no problem, along with your Visual Studio counterpart. So let's go ahead and grab the develop branch. And let's pull that sucker down. We'll just do a quick swap of the solution. And so it's gone out to the cloud. It's synced up my local develop branch now, because Git is one of those things where it's distributed. So I've got a full copy of the branch locally here. I'm loading up super awesome fun. This should be my challenged one. Let's hit run. So there it is. There's my mixed content warning. And so now I got to figure out kind of what's going on. And so I'm going to just go ahead and right-click and view source in my file here. I can see, there's my HTTP generating there. Now, I know these are all generated by a custom helper. And so I can even see the history of my fix here. So what I want to show you here is just built into VS with Git. I can still go ahead and annotate and see all the various change sets and when they were last changed across all of my solutions. So I'm getting that rich functionality that you're used to with TFS with Git right in Visual Studio. I don't need to go out to external tools to get interaction with my repository and my history. And like I said, this is still very much a V1 in terms of the Git tools, but as you keep up with the Visual Studio updates, they're adding things in to round out that experience. So I suspect in a short while we'll see things like pull requests come down the line and other essential pieces for a more full experience. But today, your day-to-day usage scenarios totally covered inside the Visual Studio tools. So let's go ahead and make this fix here back to where we need to be here. So let's do context uri.scheme so that it's actually going to render links that are relevant to the actual scheme. And we'll go ahead and launch that, and we should see in a quick second that we've got no more issues left with that. And so let's switch over to the HTTPS site. And no warning, there's our ads, we're good to go. Cool. Now, you might have noticed while I was kind of digging around here, this little bar kind of popping up in the corner. This is called Browser Link. And this is one of those things that, you know, when Mads first showed it, I was in TechEd Australia, and, you know, the audience, you know, kind of gave it a lukewarm reception. And then, of course, when Scott Hanselman showed it, everybody loved it. This is one of those things where it doesn't quite occur to you for the first time when you see it how awesome this is. But what they've done here is basically built a bi-directional IDE between using the browser's dev tool as a supplemental IDE in your dev environment. And let me show you a little bit about how that all comes together here. So if I take this off to the side here and I hit design, what's going to happen here is as I click it, it's going to go find the file and highlight the element that I'm actually looking for. So, you know, if you need to figure out where that element comes from, so let's say I need to figure out where my menu bar is and where that title is, I click it, and it's just going to go find it. That's really useful from a time-saving perspective when you got to go make a change to this environment. And on top of that, you know, we can also do things like inspect, where I can go in and, let's say here, I need to change the title here, is really for the win. And you can see here, I'm making the change in the browser, and bang, it's updating my source code. Really awesome when you start thinking about that. Now apply that not just to HTML scenarios, but to other scenarios in other applications. That's the power that's built into the IDE, and some of the things that some of the other language teams are looking to take advantage of over the various updates that are coming out. So we can go in here, and I can see already we've got we've got a bug down here at the bottom where we've got the copyright. It's got a typo in it, so I'm just going to go in here and edit it here. So I'll go in and inspect. If I can get there with this resolution, there we go. So I'll go ahead and fix that typo right there. Bang, and check in my code. I've already fixed that bug and close it off. So that's really, really neat to be able to do that. Now, of course, there's one scenario, and for anybody who's a web dev that can really appreciate this, this is the big one. So you're sitting there trying to get everything pixel perfect. So, you know, this stuff isn't quite working the way I want it. You know, I'm looking, you know, I need to go and figure out what's kind of going on here. So I'm going to use my browser dev tools. And by the way, this is not just a VS thing. This will work with Firefox and Chrome and everything else. But I'm going to go ahead here and say margin, and I'll say zero auto. Give it a little more lining, padding, let's say, you know, 10 picks to give it a little more padding. Actually, you know, let's give it a margin of 50. There we go. You know, do a little bit of change here. Now, as I'm typing that, it's actually updating not just the CSS, but the less. So for you guys that are web guys that use things like less and sass and stuff like that, this is smart enough not to go to the CSS file referenced by the web page, but to actually find the root as well. And that's the intelligence built into Visual Studio, trying to make that development experience, regardless of where you are, sync back to your development environment. I think that's really, really awesome. So let's take a look at some more awesomeness that is generally coming up. So one of the other bugs that we were seeing was there's supposed to be a label coming up, and our controller's not rendering that properly. So I'm going to set a breakpoint and find out a little bit of what's going on. Now, this is one of those ridiculous projects. It's not production-oriented. I'm not doing all my checks here that I normally would, so please ignore that. I made it so ridiculous so you don't take this code and copy it and paste it into your production code. But what I want to show you here is we're going to dig through, and of course, we've got IntelliTrace, and if you saw one of Dave's presentations on IntelliTrace, you know, that's really cool. But there's other stuff that you don't require things like Ultimate Edition for, like edit and continue and return value inspection. So here we're trying to figure out why is this flag not setting. So we can jump through and see, okay, so I created the object and I can go inspect the values of the object. But in the past, you know, the way I've had to write my code to be able to kind of figure out what's going on here is I had to take things like modal.calculate and store that in a variable so I can see what was going on. You know, because I'm only going to catch the result here. Where am I? So let's go ahead and F10 through here. And if I go pull up my autos window, I've got this neat little feature now that actually goes and shows what that previous method call just returned. And that's super handy for debugging that code that doesn't follow necessarily if you've got a different coding style. You can see what's going on at all angles. So that's really, really great. And it's not just method return, but you know, it also comes in the line, but it actually also works when you do the curly brace inside the last curly brace inside the method. And so let's go ahead and pop that guy open again, and we'll dig into the method this time. And so there I'm going to go ahead and do some calculation, super secret formula, please don't tell anybody. But you see what's actually just happened here for a second. It's gone ahead and done all the add, and it showed you what it returned into the formula here just before I exit. So I'm actually getting insight into the line that just executed and what values it pulled in that line, so I can see a little bit more what's going on. So it's one of those little enhancements. And so Visual Studio is a combination of, in 2013, is a combination of a couple of really big things, but it's a lot of little things. And that's kind of the story of Visual Studio. And with the updates, you're going to see more and more of a regular stream of little things that make it nicer and nicer to work with. Now, of course, if you're still a team that's running on 2012, you're going to ask yourself, well, I've got to wait for my team to upgrade. Well, the good news is backwards compat works here. So you can work with teams that are still using 2012. So if you've got your MSDN subscription, do yourself a favor. Just go install 2013 and get working today with all this great stuff. Now, there's other neat things as well that will help you through that debug experience, such as the code mapping. So going through and debugging here, I want to kind of get a sense of what's actually going on underneath the covers. So I'm going to use Visual Studio here to do a little mapping of what's going on and where the calls are going. So I'll jump through, and you'll see here, it's just going to map kind of the call stack from call to call to call. And you know, this is great. I had the call stack before, and that kind of helped me through. But now that we're getting into more parallel things where multiple things are going on at the same time, it's really hard to trace the relationship between things and where things are getting executed from and controlled from. And so you can see here, as I'm building out the page, there's a piece of built-in framework code that's actually managing the execution pipeline, but it's calling, 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 and calling. And as you get into more and more asynchronous applications, this becomes extremely useful to figure out what's going on where and what things are running in parallel inside your code. So this is your code map, and once you've got your code map in place and your code's running, you can jump in here and we can go ahead and throw in a comment saying, I think we need to do work on this. So you can actually start annotating and then go ahead and save this out as a file or just go ahead and email it to somebody and say, hey, I just noticed something. Here's a visual representation of it. And they say a picture's worth 1,000 words. Well, when you're trying to explain a flow problem, boy, this makes it super easy. And if you want to flag things as well, they've got all kinds of different color flags. So you can say, hey, our team says brown issues are our security issues, and we need to roll from there. So that's really awesome. The last thing I'll show you here before we get moving on with the next gig is the profiler. Now, this is one of those things where the boss was saying this thing kind of takes a little long to load, and it's kind of doing a bit of a clunky piece here. And again, I'm just going to triple check here just for the sake of time here that I don't I didn't already prefix this bug and check out the wrong branch. Yes, I did prefix the bug. So we'll undo this so we can show you the performance and diagnostics wizard. So this Analyze tab, how many people have actually spent time in the Analyze tab in Visual Studio previously? So all five of you out there. So I'll show you something that is really useful, not just for web, but really any project. So this can attach to anything. But this is the place if you want to get performance analysis, this is where you want to roll from. So in this case here, we've got a, make sure I saved my page, I haven't. I'll show you what the behavior is. So if I go ahead and load this page with the bug in place here, if I don't kill the debugger, when I load this in, what's going to happen here is the rotator here is going to have a bit of a stall here and then just suddenly flip to the next image. I got to figure out kind of what's happening in my JavaScript. Well, Visual Studio, JavaScript, those are two different things. Well, not really, because Microsoft's been adopting JavaScript as kind of this first-class language as part of building Windows Phone apps, Windows 8 apps, and Node apps. Well, why not build it into all the tools? So we've got this new little option around things like profiling JavaScript as part of our profiler. And not just profiling JavaScript. Really, the intent here is to profile the end-to-end flow. So with this performance and diagnostics hub, you can see the activity from SQL Server to your service layer to your web app to your client-side browser and get that full picture of performance from end to end. And I think that's really useful as we build more and more of these service apps. So I'll let this run for just a quick second so it can analyze and pull in some data. And once it does, what's going to happen here is I can just tell it to go ahead and stop profiling and collect that data and give me a report and then tell me where are the hot button issues. So in this case, we're running a little short on time here, and we got to get this code checked in. So I'm going to go ahead and see what it highlights right out of the gate. And this is going to take a second or so for the analysis to run. Again, you know, obviously the more layers you cross, the more data it's collecting. I ran it in really detailed instrumentation mode, but if you want just a quick sample, there's a couple of other different modes that are worth playing with. So what you can see here, if I close off a couple of windows quickly, is you can see that it's going to give me a bit of a view of performance over time, in this case CPU, and already it's dug into and saying, you know, my hottest issue in all of this that was running was Internet Explorer. And in particular, there's this rotate function here that's taking a good chunk of time, and it's not only just a good chunk of time on its own, it's exclusively taking up time on the browser. And so I can follow right down into the function, right into the code, it'll go find it and show me my analysis of what's taking the most. And I can see, oh, we're doing some date-time stuff, and then I'm looping, I'm calling getTime a few times over. That's probably problematic code. You know, let's go ahead and try something right here and go jump into the navigate right over to the actual call itself. So I don't have time for that because I hit my timer clock. So I just comment that out, save it, check it in, and I'm off and running. But what I really want to show you here is there's some great new things in VS 2013 that make it a nicer experience. And some of them are small, but they're really important to the work you do day to day, and some of them are large. So I hope if you've got your MSDN subscription, you're going to go home and download it, upgrade yourself, and get working and get productive in your team. And if you don't, I encourage you to take a look at grabbing the latest tools.